want to prevent conception usually use birth control all the time, even though they're only fertile during part of the cycle. But since the rhythm method has proved to be unreliable in determining when a woman's fertile, women have to assume that they're always fertile. Well, coming up, we're going to hear about new developments in fertility awareness that may help women determine when their fertile periods are, and then they can use this information either for conception or for contraception. I spoke with Kay Whitlock and Regina Pfeiffer recently. They both teach fertility awareness classes at the Elizabeth Blackwell Healthcare Center for Women, and they're writing a book on the subject, which is scheduled for publication by Prentice Hall in 1982. Kay Whitlock and Regina Pfeiffer work at a local family planning agency where they have developed a pilot fertility awareness program. A new series of their fertility awareness courses will begin on January 18th at Blackwell, and I'll give more information about those sessions a little later. When I spoke with them, I asked Kay first how women use fertility awareness.
Well, women use it for different reasons. Some use it as a contraceptive resource, either as a sole method of contraception or in conjunction with barrier birth control methods. Some women use it to plan a pregnancy, to identify the time when they're maximally fertile. And some women want to learn it just to learn more about their own bodies and to learn it as a body of knowledge that helps inform them about gynecological health care in general.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of different techniques that you're going to be teaching. Do you want to describe them, Reg?
Yes. Basically, we teach two systems. We teach a system of evaluating cervical mucus, which is the mucus which is secreted by the cervix and flows down through the vagina and appears at the opening of the vagina. What is known as a symptothermal method, which is symptoms of the cervical mucus and some other signs of fertility that occur, and thermal meaning temperature, a temperature change that occurs in a fertile woman during the menstrual cycle. We basically teach cervical mucus method and symptothermal methods.
Now, Evelyn Billings, who is someone who's done a lot of research into the method with the cervical mucus, was on the show a few months ago and tried to describe the method. It's perhaps a little difficult to understand completely on the air, but what's the premise that it's based on, Kay? Why does the mucus change?
Well, the mucus changes in response to changing levels of the hormone estrogen that is produced and secreted by a woman's ovaries during her menstrual cycle. At the beginning of a cycle, that is when she begins her menstrual period, the estrogen levels are low, and building up towards the time of ovulation or release of the egg from the ovary, estrogen levels rise. And as the estrogen levels become higher, any cervical mucus that's being produced becomes wet and clear and exhibits those characteristics that we would call fertile cervical mucus. That mucus is necessary for sperm to survive in. If a woman ovulates but doesn't have wet cervical mucus, she can't get pregnant. So we're looking at cervical mucus as it changes in response to changing estrogen levels, and we can identify a range of time during each cycle when a woman is fertile by looking at the kind of mucus she's secreting.
Was this recently discovered?
No, not at all. Evelyn Billings and her husband, John Billings, did most of the work in this in the 50s and continued it through the 60s and the 70s, and it's really taken the rest of the world till now, the 80s, to catch up with them and their research. Basically, infertility researchers have known about this for a long time, but it's taken a long time to sift down to the general public. It still isn't there, but there is some information now.
Would you feel safe if you were trying to avoid pregnancy? Would you feel safe using this cervical mucus method, or even using it in conjunction with the temperature method? Is that enough protection?
Oh, absolutely. As a sole method of birth control, its theoretical effectiveness certainly is right up there with the other sort of technological birth control methods, including chemical methods and barrier methods, pill and the diaphragm. It can be just about as effective as those if a woman follows the rules of evaluation of her fertile time and either uses some form of barrier birth control method or abstains from sexual intercourse during her potentially fertile time. It's very highly effective if people use it consistently and correctly each time. If they don't, a possible pregnancy could result, just as with every other form of birth control.
How foolproof is it? I mean, how much can you really tell which kind of mucus you have?
Most women can tell very well. I think initially, for the first 2 or 3 or 4 cycles of learning to observe it, it's difficult. It's confusing. What is tacky mucus? What is wet fluid mucus? What are dry days kinds of things? It's very difficult in the beginning to learn. But each woman has her own individual pattern, and within a few cycles, she begins to understand what that is for herself, and that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. It's basically going to stay the same, and then it becomes relatively easy to understand.
I know that when Evelyn Billings was here, she said that she would not recommend using the mucus method in conjunction with any other form of birth control, particularly the diaphragm, because the cream or jelly that you're using in conjunction with it would mix with the cervical mucus and make it impossible to judge what the mucus was like. So what do you think?
Well, contraceptive residues can confuse a woman's mucus reading. However, it's not impossible for a woman to tell the difference. It's very difficult for beginners to learn to tell the difference, but after time, you can learn to distinguish contraceptive residue from a cervical mucus secretion. I think it's also important to point out that within the whole area of fertility awareness and natural family planning, that there are different schools of thought on whether other forms of contraception besides just using one of the natural methods, whether any other methods are acceptable. And some of the schools of thought, of which Evelyn Billings belongs to, hold that no other form of contraception is all right. We prefer to let women make that distinction for themselves. If they want to use it as a sole method, fine. With barrier methods, fine. They can learn to do that quite effectively, too.
Why are you interested in these methods? Are you trying to avoid the chemicals of the spermicidals or the pill?
No. No, that's not at all how we got into it. I think our interest was really one... Well, let me speak for me personally. I was working in the family planning field for a number of years and doing some healthcare delivery and some educational programs about contraception, about women's healthcare. And I was a couple of years into this before I discovered this information myself. And at that time, I was 26 years old. I'd been in the field a number of years, and I said, "This is bizarre. How come I have never heard of this?" And I began to understand that, the mucus, the temperature, the menstrual cycle. And from that, developed programming where the emphasis was on helping women to learn this information and to use it or not use it as they saw, and to integrate it into their own lives for pregnancy planning or contraception or to understand menopause, whatever was important to them.
Is that similar to your reasons, Kay?
Oh, sure. I think it's just a whole information base about our bodies that we should have had all along as women, and we haven't had all along. So there's was certainly tremendous excitement for me when I started working with Reg in 1978 on this. And it's just sort of seems to carry over into all areas of health. It's exciting to see the women in the workshops kind of begin to understand all the different applications.
A couple of years ago, I remember hearing that there was going to be, I think it was called an ovulometer, some kind of very precise thermometer that would be used to measure a woman's temperature for fertility awareness. How much progress has been made in that device?
Well, there are a lot of different devices that are in different stages of development. Some of which are on the market. There's supposed to be a little wristwatch that flashes yes or no according to whether a woman's in her fertile period to tell her whether she can have unprotected sexual intercourse or not. There are things called ovutimers that are supposed to measure the thickness of the cervical mucus produced. All of these gadgets so far are very imprecise and should not be relied upon by a woman who is wanting to know if she can have unprotected sexual intercourse if she wants to avoid pregnancy. We cannot tell without directly observing the ovary precisely the precise moment at which a woman ovulates. What we can tell is a range of time during which she is potentially fertile. That has to do with timing of ovulation, egg life, sperm life, and a number of different factors. So to say that a little gadget is going to tell you yes or no, you're fertile at this minute, is misleading.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope women approach those kinds of gadgets with a healthy skepticism.
This is a question that I think everyone's confused about the answer to. Now that you've done a lot of research on fertility, can you get pregnant when you're menstruating? Because I know that's a time when a lot of women keep their birth control in the closet.
That's right.
don't bother with it, because after all, they're menstruating.
Yes.
You can.
Yes, it is possible. Although unlikely, it is possible. Firstly, it depends on how erratic or how short your menstrual cycles are. Women with short or erratic menstrual cycles, especially adolescent women, will have a greater chance of getting pregnant during their periods.
Why is that?
Well, because the shorter the cycle, kind of the earlier you ovulate. And if you would have a cycle that would be 20, 21 days long, you would theoretically ovulate 14 to 16 days back from that time period. And if you have longer menstrual flows, you know, flows that last 5, 6, 7, 8 days, sure, you could ovulate during the time of your bleeding. But it is highly unlikely that a woman's going to get pregnant before the 6th day of her cycle.
However, I think Reg brought up an important point, that I think there's a kind of myth out there about mid-cycle ovulation, that for every woman she ovulates some right around the middle of her cycle, and that ovulation generally happens on day 14. That's sort of based on the myth of the tidy, perfect 28-day cycle. Only about 6% of women actually consistently have 28-day menstrual cycles. Also, as Reg mentioned, ovulation is really going to happen about 12 to 16 days from the end of a cycle, not from the beginning. And if you think about that then with the short cycle and what that means when you would be ovulating, you could see, number one, it's not mid-cycle. It's toward the front of the cycle. And if you do have a long menstrual flow, you could ovulate right then. But I think it's important to clear up that myth that mid-cycle ovulation does not hold true for all women, and that we count back 12 to 16 days from the end of a menstrual cycle.
How reliable is that?
It's real reliable.
Except that you only know that in retrospect.
Right.
You can define once your cycle has ended. You never know how long your cycle is going to be. But in the end, you can go back and count the 12 to 16 days and really define the time period in which you were fertile. So it's no help to you as you're going through it. That's why what is important is to learn to observe, you know, the physical signs, the changing mucus and the change in the temperature.
If any of our listeners enroll in the class that you'll be teaching at the Elizabeth Blackwell Healthcare Center, what can they expect? What's the class going to be like, and how will people learn to tell their own bodily signs?
Well, it's held in 3 sessions, and it's held in a kind of informal support group fashion. We help each woman recognize her own fertility pattern. We provide a whole overview of what the changing signs are and teach women all of the general principles about that, give them all of the information that we can, and then we provide individualized assistance. Reg, would you like to add anything?
Well, I think what is really exciting for Kay and I is that the women come with all different perspectives. Some are interested in learning this for contraception. Some are interested in understanding what's happening with their infertility studies. Some are interested in understanding about what's happening as they're entering menopause, premenopause. So that's real exciting for us. You know, there are so many different reasons, and it makes the environment really positive. I mean, there's lots of support and sharing. We have small groups of about 10 women who are in the groups, and it's a very nice learning atmosphere.
Okay. And what does someone need to register?
What do they need to do? All they need to do is call the Elizabeth Blackwell Health Center for Women at 563-7577 and ask about the fertility awareness stuff. We'll get them some fact sheets and forms and provide them with any answers to any immediate questions that they have about the courses.
Great. Okay, I want to thank you both for describing this.
Thank you, Terry.
Great. Thank you, Terry.
I was speaking with Kay Whitlock and Regina Pfeiffer, and they're both teaching fertility awareness sessions. They're writing a book on the subject that's due for publication in 1982 by Prentice Hall.